morning we're going to continue our series through the Gospel of Luke called Meet the Saviour. In the hope that as we hear these scriptures together, that you will have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ when we meet here on Sunday morning. This morning we're going to read from Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. And in the church Bibles you can find that on page 543. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I'd like to begin this morning by reading a few quotes, sharing a few quotes with you. Loneliness is just about the scariest thing out there. That is Hollywood director Joss Whedon. If you don't know who that is, he made The Avengers, the biggest film of the past year. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. Mother Teresa. Acting is the greatest answer to my loneliness that I have found. That's actress Claire Danes. She's the star of that really popular show at the moment, Homeland. The trouble is, not that I am single and likely to remain so, but that I am lonely and likely to remain so. That's the famous writer Charlotte Bronte. And finally, they cannot scare me with their vast empty spaces between the stars, on planets where no human race is. I have it in me so much nearer home to scare myself with my own desert places. That was 20th century poet Robert Frost. At one time or another, to different degrees, we will all have felt lonely. And loneliness can be a terrible thing. Loneliness is perhaps a particularly modern problem for us today. The pace of modern life, the advent of new ways of communicating with new technology, the breakdown of the traditional family and community, the values of society that pushes us to spend more and more time in work, it all contributes to many of us feeling lonely like never before. For example, the single mum who lives in a high-rise council flat. The pensioner who's trapped at home because of ill health. The spouse whose partner, because of their work, has to be away for months at a time. Yet, we know, don't we, that the thing about loneliness is you don't have to be alone to feel lonely. You can actually be in a crowded room full of people and feel so desperately lonely, particularly in suffering. When you are really in the depths and misery of pain and suffering, it seems as if no one understands and that there's no one really there who can share in that burden with you. Loneliness can be a bitterly terrible thing to go through. Why do we feel lonely? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? Why is it that loneliness is so terrible? And if you ever struggle with feeling that way, is there anything from the Bible to help you? Well, I believe these questions arise this morning because in our passage this morning, we meet the most pitiful, lonely person that you could imagine. The leper in Galilee. If you remember, as we saw last time, there's a theme in this section of Luke's Gospel that Jesus is gathering together a new people. Out of the remnants of Israel, he's gathering together a new creation people, a new kingdom people. And in chapter 5, we're stunned, we're surprised to see that who Jesus invites in are the outsiders, the guilty, the nobodies, the people that were looked down upon, the sinners. And he goes on in chapter 6 to tell us that this new people will be founded upon the apostles. And then his great sermon in chapter 6, a version of the Sermon on the Mount, is all about who's in this new people and who's not going to be in this new people. But we see here again, Christ's invitation is to this leper. And he performs this amazing miracle and brings this leper, not just to be healed, but to be part of this new people. Of the multitudes of verse 15, that he's making into a new people of God. Now to really understand the plight of this leper, his misery, his loneliness, you need to understand, and this is our first major point, that he was literally an untouchable man. Literally an untouchable man. When the Bible says he was a leper, we can trust this is reliable. Not just because it's the word of God, but because Luke, the writer of this gospel, was a doctor. He's the beloved physician. He knows what he's talking about. Leprosy was, and still is in parts of the world, a terrible disease. Now, leprosy, we know it today as Hansen's disease, named after the doctor who diagnosed its true cause. And what happens is, it causes an outbreak of scaly rashes all over the skin. And it causes the sufferer to lose all sensitivity and feeling in the affected areas. In particular, the victim's extremities, their toes, their fingers, their hands, their feet, their ears, their nose, their eyes, all become numb. That certainly would have been the case for this man. And what this actually leads to is most sufferers of leprosy suffer horrendous injuries because they don't know what's happening to their own body. There are contemporary accounts to this incident that record lepers sleeping out in the wilderness being eaten by rats at night, and they would not wake up from feeling it. They would reach into fire to grab something and would not feel the damage it was doing. They would walk on broken bones or walk barefoot and their feet be cut to ribbons and not know it. Some sufferers are known to have disfigured their hands simply by gripping onto something for too long and in too hard and in actually breaking some of their own bones. Now, the scripture says this man was full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. So this means he's had it for a long time. Without it going away, it's just got worse and worse. It means this is a man who is dying. This is a man whose whole body has been affected. So almost certainly, he's lost some toes or some fingers. Perhaps his nose or an ear. A person's body with leprosy, it's literally rotting. One doctor has called this condition a painless hell. But it gets worse for this man. Because not only was there no medical help for him, but it meant that he was an outcast, an outsider to all the rest of society. He would have been banished out of any town, out of any city or hamlet or gathering, and forced to live out in the wild, perhaps in a cave, perhaps if he was fortunate alongside other lepers and family members might leave food for them, but out in the wilderness somewhere, struggling to survive. This banishment was certainly a kind of quarantine for the sake of health, to stop the disease spreading. But it was also something more. Because a leper was considered unclean. And he says to Jesus, "You can make me clean." Not just you can heal me, but you can make me clean. Now what is the difference? Well, to understand this, we need to put ourselves back into ancient Israel and understand how God revealed himself to the world before the coming of Christ. And the primary thing that God had revealed himself to be was holy. God is described as holy more often, more frequently, more emphatically than anything else throughout the Old Testament revelation. That is the supreme thing that he is, holy. And his holiness means his otherness, his uniqueness, his purity, his absolute goodness and godness. Which meant, of course, that as creatures and as fallen sinful creatures, we would have to be extremely careful about anything to do with God, about approaching him or knowing him. His holiness would devour us in our sinfulness. And so, before the coming of Christ, God gave the people many, many rituals to teach them about these principles of holiness. The fundamental point being that unclean human beings, because of sin, cannot approach a holy God without first being made clean. And in the Old Testament, these rituals divided up the people into two groups. There were the clean and the unclean. Now, the clean were those who faithfully kept to the rituals, walked in the commandments of God, and through those rituals and through the priests and the offerings that could be made, they could have a relationship with God and they could be part of the community. But those who were unclean were those who failed to keep to the rituals, who broke the commandments of God, who didn't offer sacrifices, didn't come to the priest, and they were cut off. Unclean, outsiders, cut off not just from God, but from the community too. And so this leper's problem is not just that he's dying, not just that he's cut off from the community, but he's unclean and can't become clean. And he's cut off from God. Now, this whole unclean and clean thing might sound very strange to us, because for 2,000 years we've lived on the other side of the cross. But these are still the principles behind many of the world's religions. Judaism and Islam, for example. That's why they cannot eat certain foods. It's why they can't do certain things with their left hand. It's the same idea of there being certain rituals that make you clean or unclean. Now, it's important to understand that these rules about clean and unclean in the book of Leviticus were not arbitrary. This is what Leviticus is all about. If ever you've read through your Bible and you started at Genesis and you thought, I'm going to read through, and then you get to Leviticus and you go, oh, I'm stuck. What on earth does this all mean? I hope this will shed some light on it. Leviticus is this book of rituals for clean and unclean. But this is the main point of the book. Through them, God was teaching the world something profound about man's sin and God's holiness. They're not arbitrary. There's meaning behind them. Let me give you a few examples. Three examples in particular. Death, devouring, and decay. First of all, death. Leviticus says that anyone who touched a dead body would be made unclean. And they'd have to go outside the camp and be unclean for a whole day until they could then be ritually washed clean at the end of the day. Now why? Because death is the punishment of sin. God is life, and nothing that is dead can approach him. And so you see how God's teaching the greater principle through the ritual. You see, all these rituals are a manifestation. Everything that was unclean is a manifestation of the fallenness and sinfulness of the world and of this broken relationship with God. So death, because of sin, came into the world, cannot come near God. Devouring. Leviticus says there are certain animals they were not allowed to eat. Which ones? It was any animal that had run the risk of shedding another animal's blood, or who might have killed another animal. So cows are in, but eagles and dogs are out. Why? Well, because this idea of animals devouring, this red and tooth and claw and this warfare in creation, came in because of the fall. Again, as blood is shed, that's symbolic of death. And it cannot be brought near a God who is life. And decay. Have you ever wondered why there's that very long chapter in Leviticus all about mold? About why if a house has mold, the priest has to come and inspect it? It's not arbitrary. It's because what a symbol of the decay that sin has brought into the world. It's a visible, living demonstration in front of your eyes of how all things are decaying and running down. The decay of the human body, the decay of creation because of sin. The chaos that has been brought in through sin. So do you see how, and that's just three examples, all these rituals, through them God was teaching unclean, sinful people cannot approach him without first being made clean. Which brings us back to this poor leper. There were many rituals for the cleansing of lepers, but only if the disease went away. And why was leprosy in particular an unclean disease and other sicknesses weren't? It's because sin is like leprosy. Leprosy is an almost unique picture of what sin does to a human being. What is sin? It desensitizes us to the ways that we are destroying ourselves. Just as the leper puts his hand in the fire and destroys his hand but doesn't feel what he's doing, so as human beings, we are spiritually blind. And we go on in our sins, destroying our souls, and don't even realize what we're doing. And the fact that it comes from within, that it is this inner corruption and corrosion of the body, is a graphic picture of sin's power within. If it helps, in modern terms, someone from leprosy like this, you might think of them as a zombie. The walking dead. Again, it's a graphic picture of sin. Of how spiritually dead we are. Although we live, we are dead. But in this man's case, there could be no ritual to clean him. There was no hope. His leprosy was killing him. It's also a picture of how sin doesn't just damage our relationship with God, but it breaks our relationship with other people. You cannot be right in right standing in a community with others or within the church without first being right with God. Both must come together. Let me sum all of this first point up with this untouchable man. Let me try to bring it home to you. It meant no one had touched this man for years. Can you imagine living in a world where there's no pat on the back, there's no handshake, there's no hug or embrace, there's no one checking your temperature when you're ill, there's no one running their hand through your hair, there's no one to help you when you stumble. No human contact. Can you imagine the pain of this man's lonely suffering? Perhaps you can identify with some of that loneliness. But this brings us to the second incredible part of this story. What happened that day is Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him and healed him. But let me put that another way. The untouchable one touches the untouchable one. The untouchable one touches the untouchable one. When we considered all that leprosy means, just consider how remarkable it was for Jesus to touch this man. Our Lord heals people in many different ways, according to their need and according to the sign that he's giving through the miracle. He touches this man. And what a miracle! This would have meant something visually happening in front of the people's eyes. The scales falling off, the fingers regrowing, fresh skin beginning to emerge. It's a miracle of creation, again. It's not like those miracles on the God Channel, the fake miracles, the charlatans do, go, oh, yeah, I think I'm feeling my back's a little bit better. Oh, yeah, it's just that. No, this would have been a dramatic, incredible, visible miracle. On a human level, what a compassionate, kind gesture. What a merciful thing to do on a human level. But consider this. The word for touch in the Greek comes from a word, haptomai, which in this form means more than just a glancing finger. It's not that Jesus reached out and touched him. It means a firm, warm, hearty grasp. In some senses, it could mean embrace. But whether this means Jesus put his arm around the man or Jesus grabbed hold of him, it was a wonderful sign of acceptance and of drawing this man to him. It's an affectionate act of compassion. But there's something much deeper going on below the surface. First, because these rules of uncleanness were very strict. anyone who touches a leper becomes unclean themselves. So in this act of healing, Jesus touches and heals the man and makes him clean, but Jesus himself becomes ritually unclean. On one level, a transfer has taken place. But we will come back to that. But consider this touch from the man's perspective. What courageous faith it took for this man to come to Jesus. Because where does the scripture say this happened? In a city. This man's not allowed to come into a city. If anyone had seen him, they'd have started throwing stones at him. What courageous faith for him to seek out Jesus. Can you imagine? He sat there in the wilderness and he hears this rumour. There's a rabbi from Nazareth and he can heal. And in courage and in faith, he comes and seeks him out. He risks all the jeers and the cries and the opposition of the multitude. The screams, the stones of the people. And what faith? He falls on his face before Jesus. That's a posture of worship. He calls Jesus Lord. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's a humble faith. If you are willing. He knows he has no right to expect anything from Jesus. No claim on him. If anything's going to happen, it's all by mercy. Yet what certain faith. You can make me clean. He trusts in the power of Jesus. Let me stop for a moment and say, if you are looking for the hand of Jesus, the touch of Jesus on your life at this moment, whether it's with loneliness or sin or with anything, here is how to come to him. With this same kind of courageous faith. Do not be put off. Do not let people be put off by the mockery or the jeers or resistance of others. Come with a humble faith, knowing that it's all by grace or it's not at all. But come with a confident faith. He is able to save you, whatever your problem. But from the point of view of Jesus, this touch is even more amazing. Because who is Jesus? As the demons proclaimed, as we heard earlier, he is the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. He is the Lord God. The transcendent one, the most high, the infinitely pure God, who's established all these rituals to keep sinners at a distance. He's the untouchable one. That no one can approach, that no one can see, because he dwells in light inaccessible. But now he's come down to earth. And he's added to himself a human nature. And in and through that humanity, the Holy One is now able to reach out and touch sinners. You cannot begin to fathom the depths of this. The wonder of the incarnation. That the divine, through humanity, now touches us. And it's not just a miracle. As the leper is a picture of sin, this miracle is a picture of how Jesus cleanses us of all our sin and heals us of all the damage that sin has done. It's a mere human touch. A frail, weak, human hand. Just bone and sinew and muscle. But it's the mighty hand of God. It's a great theme of Luke. It's the majesty and the meekness of Jesus as one. This shows us, again, in a new light, the wonderful work of Christ. As our Saviour, he is the great reconciler. The reconciler. Who reconciles us to God by making us clean. And of course, this man is now restored to the community. And so Christ, when he comes into our lives, also restores us to have right relationship to one another. Many of us are lonely and don't realise what a serious thing loneliness is. And what its real cause is. It's because something is missing in our hearts. A right relationship with God and with others. And it's only this touch of Christ that provides it. It's only this powerful hand of Christ on your life that restores you to God, that will fill that hole in your heart. But then he will also teach you how to forgive. He'll give you strength to forgive the unforgivable. He'll give you grace to bear with those who are the opposites to you. He'll put love in your heart to love the unlovable. We cannot do it without him, but he restores us and heals humanity and creation. Do you think this morning that anyone is untouchable? Do you think that anyone is unreachable to Christ? It says he reached out his hand. Perhaps it was just a foot that he reached. But in spiritual terms, this hand was reaching across an infinite chasm between God and man. Do you think there is anyone this morning who is unreachable? Maybe there's a family member, a relative, and you think that the case seems hopeless. You think that your prayers have been in vain. You think they seem more hardened to the gospel than ever. Is there a friend that you've tried to reach out to and they've just rebuffed every word of the gospel? No one. Surely if there's a point to this, no one, if the leper can be reached, no one is beyond the reach of Christ. And if you think that you are, if you feel this morning so guilty, so full of sin, you are not beyond Christ's reach. The mighty hand of God. Is he willing? He says, I am willing. Be clean. And if you'll come to him in faith this morning, he says over you, I am willing. Be clean. There's a third and final wonderful thing to see in this passage. The proof of the priests. The proof of the priests. After this remarkable miracle, Jesus sends the man to the priests according to the law of Moses. Now, what does this mean? What was Jesus telling the man to do? And why had God done this? Well, you see, under these rituals, if someone was cleansed of their leprosy, there was a joyful ritual lasting a week that would then take place. And you can read about all the details in Leviticus chapter 14. But this ritual consisted of three things: death, debt, and dedication. And try to visualize, if you can, what would happen now when this leper goes to the priest. The first part of the ritual was death. Two birds would be taken by the priest, two identical birds of the same kind, and one would be killed. And its blood would be emptied out into a bowl above some fresh water. The water would be a symbol of being cleansed, but the blood would be put in a bowl. And then the second bird, the live bird, would be dipped in the blood and then released to go free. And it was a picture that out of a sacrificial death, there would be cleansing. Out of a sacrificial death, there would be new life, new freedom. And then after that, on the first of these days, as part of this death ritual, the leper would have to shave off all of his hair. All his eyebrows, every bit of hair all over his body would have to be completely shaved off. Because he would then look like a newborn baby. It was a symbol of new life, of a new beginning. And it was done again at the end of the 7 days. Why 7 days? Because God created the world in 7 days. And it was a symbol that this man was a new creation. All out of this bloody sacrifice. And secondly, the second part of the ritual was debt. At the end of these 7 days, this man would give an offering of 3 unblemished lambs that the priest would then sacrifice as burnt offerings. And this was symbolic for all the sacrifices that the leper had been unable to make when he'd been unclean. And so you could say it was an act of repentance and of recommitment. It was a way of saying through these 3 sacrifices, I haven't been able to do this. I haven't been able to serve God right. I'm going to fulfill that debt of gratitude now and serve him and offer sacrifices. But the third part was dedication. From the blood of these lambs, the priest would take blood and mark it on the ear of the leper and on his right hand, his right thumb, and on his right foot, his right toe. And above that blood, he would then anoint him with holy oil. Again on the ear, again on the hand, again on the foot. And again, that was a symbol of this man now being dedicated to God. Out of the bloody sacrifice, God had purchased him. He now belonged to God. And so on his ear was a sign that he would now listen. He would now listen to God and obey him. His right hand would now serve God. His right foot meant he would walk with God. And the oil, of course, was a symbol of this holiness, of being sanctified, set apart to belong to God. And so this is what Jesus sends the man to do. You can see where all these rituals are pointing. Certainly, it was a proof to the priest and the community that this man was genuinely clean and could be accepted again. And it was certainly a testimony to the awesome power of Jesus. No wonder the word spread like wildfire and crowds begin to gather. But it's also a pointed message that Jesus was sending to the priests. That now that he has come, something new is taking place. Because what all these outward rituals pointed to symbolically, this ritual cleansing, this symbolic cleansing, now, says Jesus, the reality has come. Now, what all the rituals pointed to symbolically, I've done in reality. Can you see the message to the priest? Do you see? And this is why we no longer have to keep these Old Testament rituals. How many non-Christians do you encounter who say, you believe in the Bible, then how come you eat such and such a thing? And how come you don't wash certain things and only wear certain clothes? They don't understand. Now that Christ has come, he has come with the power to truly cleanse in a way that no ritual fully could. Here is someone who has power over death, disease and chaos, and who brings about a new creation. So do you see that God gave all these rituals for one purpose? To point to the coming Saviour. To point to the one who'd bring the reality. And this is the pointed message Jesus is sending to the people. Here I am. All these things are fulfilled in me. But how? How can Jesus do this? And here we need to pick up the thought we left earlier. That when Jesus touches the man, Jesus becomes unclean. Jesus makes us clean. And in this scripture, it's by becoming unclean himself. And there's another foreshadowing of this in the passage. Where had the leper been? He'd been out in the wilderness, on his own. What happens when the crowds gather around Jesus? He goes alone into the wilderness. He goes into the place of the leper. Now yes, he goes there because he's communing with his father. He's being obedient to God. In obedience to his father, he goes into the wilderness. He takes the place of the leper. And it's a self-imposed banishment, you could say. In the New Testament, the equivalent to Leviticus is Hebrews. And it says there in chapter 13, so Jesus also suffered outside the camp in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. The fact that he suffers outside the camp is important. It's saying Jesus is in the place of ritual uncleanness. He's been banished outside the community so that all the full curse of being unclean is coming down on him. And the bloody sacrifice is what makes us clean. What the death of the bird pointed to, what the death of the lambs pointed to. There upon the cross, in the wilderness outside the city, in the place of absolute loneliness, cut off from God, cut off from all of mankind, hung between heaven and earth and rejected by both, as a cursed man, our uncleanness is upon him. Just as one bird died so another could fly free, so Christ dies so that you can be free this morning. Just as the leper was symbolically given new life, so Christ gives us new life. We are born again by his Spirit and reconciled to God. Just as the leper is dedicated to God, so Jesus sends the Holy Spirit upon us and we now belong to God. Jesus, the Holy One, the untouchable one, becomes untouchable in the opposite sense, crucified upon the cross, so that he can touch the leper, he can touch you, he can touch me, and we can be made clean. This is how to be clean. Come, be dipped in the blood of Christ. Come by faith and say, Jesus, touch me, and you and I will be saved. Let us pray.